Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today is probably one of the more important shows we're going to do today because it encompasses so many things. Title of the show, Major Storm Checklist. Well, think about this. We're talking blizzards, hurricanes, tornadoes. Out west, think about all the wildfires that we've been having, flooding, earthquakes. And there is no better person besides him being my great friend. He's an expert in the field. Inspector Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks again for having me in the studio, as always.
Well, Inspector Dave, before I get into this list of items that we really need to take care of, you know, you've been at this for so many years and your expertise. Why don't you just tell me a little bit about what you've been doing? Or, hey, by the way, I know what you've been doing. Tell the folks out there what you've been doing.
Well, I've been taking all my memories and stories and putting them into a book. So that's going to be out early next year in 2018. And it's going to be called Fire in Our Lives. And it's just going to be a compilation of all the things I experienced, what people went through, how it affected them, how it affected the township, and what we learned from that. You know, everything is a learning lesson in life.
And correct, inside that book, because our title today is Major Storm Checklist, you have chapters in that book about the storms.
So much of my work involved emergency management, and we did a lot of severe weather responses. So I have actually two chapters on severe weather.
Well, let's go with it. You know, when we do this, I've got my list, you have your list. Let's go through it and talk and discuss these things. So I'm going to start us off. When you're preparing at your home, the first thing on my list is I have one pack of baby wipes. Now think about this. You know, if there is no running water, well, what do? Personal hygiene. So how do you take care of that? Just wipes for just about anything. So that's number one on my list. Number two, so let's go to water. Now, I am always amazed, and you could speak more about this. I'm always amazed as to the amount of water you actually need to prepare before a major storm. So think about this. 1 gallon per person per day just for cooking. 3 gallons per day for general use. And then we have to think about, well, do you have pets? You need water for your pets. And some people, they actually will fill their bathtubs prior to the storm. And the one thing I always say with that is, if you have younger children in the home now you have a tub with water, and that's a safety issue as well. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com.
Let's just clarify the bathtub filling. That's not to take a bath, because obviously the water will be cold. That's for flushing your toilet and any other miscellaneous use you need for non-potable water. So keep that in mind. You can take a bucket of water from that bathtub and flush your toilet with it if the water service goes out in your home. So the other thing that's important to have is a battery-powered radio, and there's a couple ways to accomplish this. The standard battery radio they have, but then they have disaster radios that are crank-up systems, so you can crank it up and it makes power for a certain number of hours, and you can have the Weather Channel built into that, the different news stations and all that, because during a really big storm, there may not be internet service, so your computers may not be working, or your iPhones or things that you have, so a way to be connected to hear announcements from the officials. And then packing as much food into the freezer, because that's important to make you're making a big block of ice is what you're trying to do in your freezer. And you want to keep the refrigerator closed as much as possible. Don't keep peeking there or looking at it. Having a bag of ice in there is important because you can monitor if the ice turns to liquid, you have just like a block of water that became ice again, then you know things melted in there. So it's a good way to monitor things, is that the bag of loose ice cubes in there.
Ah, good thought. And just, you know, from all the things I learned with you, in my emergency kit, I do have my crank radio in there. So I could listen to country music in the event there is a major storm out there. Now, one of the things, and I think about my folks up in years and all their medications, and the medications, you need to make sure that you have an ample supply and they are available. And the nice thing about medications is, and they're now getting theirs shipped to their home, but they're getting 3-month supplies and making sure that there's an overlap so you don't want to run out. You want to make sure that you have enough and then the new one is arriving before you run out of the old one. So that in itself, I believe, is very important. And always cash on hand because, hey, if power goes out, banks, ATMs, they can be out as well. Credit card machines, and I happen to be a big credit card guy, well, they may not work. And you go into your local food market or, you know, supply store of sorts. And prior to the storm, it is worthwhile, if you don't have enough cash on hand at your home, going to the bank or your ATM and withdrawing some of that money.
Yes, and the other important thing to have with you is your identification and any licenses that you require, whether for driving or for whatever purpose, but to make sure that you have an identification pack with you, because you may not be in your hometown. You may be several towns away or even out of state, somewhere where nobody knows who you are, and you have to prove it. And that's the only way you're going to be able to maybe start your insurance claim, get a relief check from an agency, or, you know, be able to cash a check or even to use your credit cards if it's available. Or even some people even to take cash, because they're people will be worried that some of the cash that's around, you know, may be counterfeit. So they take proof if you show up with a big dollar bill of some type. And then filling your cooler with ice, again, being mobile, so that if you have to be on the move, you want a cooler filled with ice, and that's all by itself, so you can dip into that whenever you need it without opening the refrigerator.
And, you know, and you brought up a point, because we're talking about this major storm checklist, and if you do get uprooted from your home, having that license available, your ID, is very important, because that is something, and we'll get down to what a go bag is later on, but that's real important to make sure that that is with you. Now, on my list, I have non-perishable food items, canned goods, and healthy snacks. And I also describe it this way. Don't just leave them in there forever and ever, so you rotate your stock. So if it's some type of canned goods, for example, I like to use, I cook a lot of Mexican food, and I have the cans of organic beans. Well, the black beans, I'll just rotate them in and out of my emergency kits. So this way they're there, they're available. And healthy snacks are important, because there may be times when you really can't get food. Now, the next item, I'm going to tell you that your house should be stocked up all the time, and it is toilet paper, good old TP. Need I say more that if there's a storm emergency, you want to make sure that you've got your good old TP with you.
And the next thing, getting back to the food side, is having a manual can opener. So if we buy cans of prepared food and they don't have a pull-off tab, and that's something to look for when you're buying, if you have a choice, a quick pull tab that you can open it without a can opener, buy those type maybe first. But other types require an opener, and just having a little hand crank thing. They're only a couple dollars, and it's just something good to have around. I don't even use an electric can opener anymore, but I know a lot of people do, just due to different problems with their hands, or they just like the convenience of it. And battery-powered lanterns. And remember, during storms, we do not want you using candles. That's an old way of heating or providing light in your home. Candles is just adding another thing that can cause a fire in your home during an emergency, which we don't want to happen. So battery-powered lanterns are terrific. There's long-life batteries. The LED lights they have now last many, many hours off a battery. And they make the crank-up ones, too. So you can either shake the light or you have a crank thing so you can get a lot of light out of that too without even having batteries around.
You know, and continue with what you just said about battery power things, what about flashlights and having the extra batteries? And one of my flashlights, big time LED, it is as bright as could be because it's a big time flashlight. Where I do remember this during one of the hurricanes, and you know, by me, I've got 150 year old oaks, and I remember during the storm actually, because you could just hear limbs coming down around the home. And I could actually flash that outside. I'm inside, but flashing it outside to take a look to see some of the damage that was going on at that time. And on my list also is personal hygiene products. Need I say more? Make sure that you just have them in stock. They are available, but you've double-checked the stock prior to a storm.
Yes, that toothbrush and toothpaste can really normalize things when things are really going bad outside with the weather and all that. And having a first aid kit around, and we're not talking about like a major league trauma kit that you need to have, but just a basic first aid kit you know, some Band-Aids, some antiseptic, some wipes, some gauze pads, some adhesive tape, a little pair of scissors, a standard kit. You can buy them pre-made, you know, pretty much everywhere, just to have. So if you get a little cut on your finger or you do, you know, some minor thing that you can treat yourself, that's fine. Of course, if you get a major injury, you should be calling for help with the professionals, EMS, to come and help you out there too. But these are just for the little nuisance things that we do to ourselves. And having pet food around, yeah, you know, we always think of feeding ourselves, but the dog really can't go fend for himself, or the cat, or goldfish, whatever kind of pet you have. Just making sure that there's some dry food in stock for them, or a little pre-made moistened pouches, or whatever way you feed your animal. Just make sure, you know, you have a good supply for them.
And that first aid kit, I think, is always important, because it's important to have that all the time, all year round. You know me, with, you know, filming in the outdoors and traveling and sports and all. I've got one of my Tranquility Mountain backpacks, and I've got it filled with, because again, mine is an outdoor first aid pack. So just making sure that you do have that. And how about thinking about this prior to the storm, having gas for your generator. Your chainsaws are most likely an oil mix. There are some battery guys that are out there, but making sure that they are filled and you have enough, because if you're using or running on a generator, you may be running that generator for days, and during some storms we have. So you need to make sure that you have enough gas, because gas stations sometimes will be running out of gas. So that's it. And I always say this, you need to make sure that you're looking at the rules and the safety rules inside the manuals. Because if you're not using a chainsaw all the time and all of a sudden, you know, you're forced into action, you need to make sure that you're safe. And that includes eyewear, earwear, you know, headphones, that type of thing. And then, hey, there's going to be a lot of downtime. And I guess I could say this in a fun way. It also is now bonding family time, because you are all together. So having some board games together, deck of cards, whatever your favorite games are, making sure that there's some type of entertainment inside there. And there's also nothing wrong with reading books together as a family, telling stories, parents telling stories to their children that they may not know about the family tree, something about grandparents or great grandparents and how you came on from there. So all of those, that's the home prep list that you need. But Inspector Dave, there is something called a go bag. And tell me what the go bag is.
Well, go bag is like that Reader's Digest version of your home prep. It's something you want to have, whether it's a Tranquility Mountain backpack or a little suitcase or some type of container that's going to have all the things that you need if you have to leave your house on super short notice. Maybe there's a flash flood coming, or a wildfire coming, or a terrorist attack, something where you have to abandon ship like immediately. You need to have something ready, packed, where grab it, go, get in your car, on your bicycle, on your feet, whatever way, in the bus, and you're taking off, and these are the things you're going to need immediately over the next couple of days. So some of the things, again, personal hygiene always at the top of the list, because even if you're going to a shelter, or maybe you get forced out into camping, if it's really a Armageddon type thing that's occurring, and you want to having those personal hygiene products, the baby wipes, the hand sanitizer, the toothpaste, just things to help you clean up and feel normal and limit the spread of disease.
Now, as you described that, and we spoke about, because some of these items are repeated, but they're important because they need to be in that go bag and ready to, no pun intended, go. How about your identification, your licenses again, and copies of important documents for your bank, your insurance, because sometimes, as you were saying before, FEMA will set up some insurance claim places at shelters, etc., where if you have proper documentation, you could start on that right away. And what about the three things that are always important? Cash, water, and food in that go bag, the healthy snacks, all of that.
Right, and having your credit cards, even though credit cards may or may not work during the storm, they will eventually work, because we're a plastic society now when it comes to all this. And even as collateral maybe for something that you have to purchase, or as another form of identification, a lot of credit cards do have your picture on the back or your signature, so that's important. And then having medications in the go bag and copies of your prescriptions. Now, maybe your medication, you run out if it's a long-term event, or it gets damaged, or it's just needs to be replaced. So having a copy of your prescription, because you may, again, be out of your regular area where you live and going to a different medicine shop or pharmacy to get your prescription. So you need to have a copy so they can fill them legally.
Well, as you're saying that one, think about what's going on in California right now and those wildfires. And people were not only pushed out of their homes, many of those homes are burnt. And all documentation is now completely gone. And I, by the way, I truly do feel sorry for those folks, and I pray for those folks every day. But if you're thinking about that, so if you have the documentation with you, you can continue. And for those of you that need prescription medicine, that becomes very important. Simple things like reading glasses or your contact lenses and supplies, having those in the go bag. And with clothes, have enough for each person, 2 to 3 days. And again, you can just fold up like some long sleeve t-shirts and sweatpants. They may not be items that you use on a daily basis. And you say, okay, so what, you know, sometimes it's almost like prior to Goodwill, well, is my go bag filled? Because hey, if you're hopefully only going to use them for 2 or 3 days, you can use those items there. Now, you know, a major storm's going to hit. So let's figure out, so what should we be planning for at that juncture? And the first thing is this, and I know a lot of college students aren't going to want to hear this one. You need to do your laundry prior to the storm. I have one nephew who doesn't do so much of his laundry at college right now. But serious, in a serious sense, when the storm is going on, your electric's out. And if it's out for a while, you won't be able to do that. Now, a piece of the outside of your house is making sure that you're going to clean your gutters and your outdoor drains. Again, you think about if you've got a major hurricane and we're going to have some great flooding going on. That's important. But also knowing the safety of using a ladder. And if you're not safe on that ladder, then get someone, hire someone to come in. I don't want to see you spend money, but if it's money over safety, then it's always safety first.
And while we're working around in the yard, we have to secure all the lightweight things out there. Let's say there's a big windstorm coming, whether it's a hurricane or just a strong nor'easter or a tornado. We want to get all the lawn furniture that's lightweight, the child's toys, garden ornaments, anything that can be blown around, because that can become a missile, or it can break somebody's window and create a problem, or hit them in the head, or you know, damage cars. Just having wind-blown projectiles around from storm, it can all be prevented by securing all this stuff inside the home, put it in a garage, in a heavy-duty shed, whatever area you have to take it to. And then sump pumps. A lot of us have sump pumps nowadays after the last 20 years or so of so much more groundwater being available to flood our basements. So we put in systems. But a lot of times these sump systems have not worked for several years because there's been no need. So now you need to go test it. And it's very simple. Just take a bucket of water and pour it in the pit where the sump pump is and make sure it functions. Sometimes they lose their prime, or the float gets hung up on them, or maybe the electric, the GFIC that's running the outlet for the thing may be tripped and you don't even know it. So check that sump pump to make sure it's going to come on, because you may have an erroneous peace of mind, so to speak, that, hey, I got a sump pump, I'm good. Make sure it's working.
Well, you know what? As you mentioned that one, we also have the backup systems on sump pumps. Some are battery powered and then some are water driven. And the two sumps that I have, I actually have a water driven system, which means if the power goes out, mine still work. And the reason why they still work is it is driven by city water. And when you were talking about securing all that lawn furniture, by my piece of property, there's only a few homes, and there were two homes that I know a major storm is coming, and my neighbors were not home, and they had all their, it was summertime, and they had all of their lawn furniture out there, and I didn't need them to become projectiles toward my home. And you're going, well, that's a distance away. Well, I'm going to tell you in a fun way. There was a blizzard a couple years back. It was right after Christmas. One of my Christmas ornaments, besides the manger and all this, I actually had a plastic snowman out there. To this day, I have no idea where Frosty blew away to. Again, there's only a couple homes here, and there's a bunch of trees, and it's got to be somewhere. And this was like a 3-foot solid plastic piece, and I can't find them. So just to show you how things do get blown around from place to place, so check on your neighbors. And that's just a great thing to check on your neighbors anyway. Now, you know the storm's going to end, so how about before the storm, we prep the gear we're going to use. So if you got a lot of cleanup going on, and I was explaining to you about all the trees here, well, how about rakes and trash bags? How about gloves for all the different people who will be out there? oil the chainsaws, prep those guys up, proper footwear, and I would always say boots or hiking boots of that. And sometimes you're out there, and one time I was out there during the end of a storm because a couple things had to be taken care of, and having rain gear, not reindeer, but rain gear out there. Now, some of you may have to board up or tape your windows. It's funny, when we see hurricanes coming, we always notice they'll show you in the news and stores down in Florida, wherever, are taping them up. That is very, very important because you don't want a whole piece of window caving in on top of you. And then leaving the shades or blinds down, because as a projectile comes through a window, that can slow down. Again, we're talking about the physics behind it, will slow down an item coming through.
Another thing we have to think about is how are we going to find our friends and family after a major storm? Our cell phones may not work. Our house phones may not work. We may be isolated from where we are. And how do you meet up with your kids or your wife or whatever? Maybe you're at work and she's at home and you're working 100 miles from your home or wherever. So you have to have a safe meeting spot ahead of time. And whether it's another relative who's in a different geographic area than you, could be in-state, out-of-state, in-town, out-of-town, depending on how far you want to take it. But having that a meeting spot so that if there is no communication whatsoever, you can at least get to that spot and reunite, you know, with your family. That can be very stressful, being away from your family and not knowing if they're safe or not. So that meeting place is, I think, one of the big things we overlook because it's kind of out of our realm of thinking a little bit. Of course I'm going to be able to go home. Or, you know, you may not. I mean, we're talking about the wildfires in California. And let's say somebody's at work, wildfire comes, you're home, and the wildfire moves through, the home is burned to the ground. Your meeting place could very easily be 50 or 100 miles away, you know, a safe area for you to go to. So how are you going to, you know, hook up with people? That's very important. A lot of the agencies will help with reuniting people, you know, the Red Cross and FEMA and all that, the Salvation Army. They'll get relocation information and centers going, but it's still good to have to be self-reliant when it comes to these big things. And getting your valuables out of the basement, that if you have a flooding problem, so if you have things that are very valuable, a lot of us use our basements much more now than just for basements for laundry and furnace. There may be things down there that are of value, maybe some good tools or electronics or things, and you want to get these out of your basements so that if your sump pump is either not there or doesn't work, that you can at least cut your losses a little bit too. Or you may get a sewer backup too. A lot of times the sanitary sewers can reverse and you'll get a backflow into the home. So certainly sewage is going to do a lot of damage to your toys.
Well, going along with what you just said, you know, how about raising all the items off the basement floor? And initially it used to be wooden skids, but now guess what? We can get plastic skids, I have plastic shelving in the basement right now. You could go to metal, but metal obviously over time could rust. But some of those plastic shelves that I use down there, and I have a lot of my prep things inside of there and on top of them, is going to keep it off the floor. And you might want to also make sure that prior to the storm, you want to make sure that you've charged your cell phone fully, because what happens if they go out? And I know that they also sell, and you can find these at Ramsey Outdoor stores like that, they also sell cell phone chargers. Think about how cool this is. You can attach one to your backpack. It's a simple little like film that goes on there. And while you're hiking along, you could charge your cell phone. Well, obviously you can use that after a storm. So making sure that your phone is charged, number one, and then after the charger, you have that as well.
Yeah, the chargers are a big thing, and there's a lot of ways you can accomplish that. Not just the backpack thing, great idea, but there's little solar chargers you can get. There's little hand crank chargers. You can get an adapter that goes in your outlet on your car, your power outlet on your car, so that you can charge it while you're driving somewhere. And then if you have a generator at your house, you know, being a good neighbor, if you're still up and running, putting a power strip out in front of your house, maybe in a little sign that people can come to your home and charge up their cell phones. You know, we're very reliant on our cell phones now and our electronic gadgets and all that. We're just, if they don't work, we're like, we're out of touch, you know, with humanity. That has to work. So, you know, we have to deal with that. We have to, even having spare batteries so that you can have like a separate battery. So if it goes dead, you're not near your charger, switch out the batteries and go from there, you know, if your unit allows you to do that. So that's a really big thing, that standby or backup power or recharging. You really give that a lot of thought, because your little handheld electronic device is going to give you a lot of different things during a storm, you know, just to be connected, if nothing else. So how about during a storm? What do we got to think about during a storm? Well, because this is like, I mean, I could just stand at the window and kind of, you know, watch the snow come down or watch the wind go by or whatever. You know, we want to remain calm. That's an important thing there. And a storm will eventually pass. If we start to really panic and start to lose our heads over things, we're going to lose our thing. If you've done your list and done the things we've talked about ahead of time, that should give you a sense of calmness right there. I'm prepared. It's okay. I'm ready for pretty much anything nature can throw at me. So, and then there'll be people that'll naturally take a lead in the neighborhood. You always have your little block captains, whatever you call it. They're the retired person around who just kind of helps to look out for everybody. So knowing that those people are around, you know, and hopefully you're one of them.
You know what? Leadership, and as you're discussing this, leadership is very important. And when a leader is calm, then everyone else around them is calm. So there's an important piece there. Now, during that storm, well, again, we were speaking about sump pumps. Well, then you need to make sure to check them, because sometimes the volume of water coming in, we got to make sure of that. It's very difficult because during a major storm, you don't want to be on the outside, but you want to make sure the discharge is actually moving away from your building. And with that large flashlight that I was talking about, I actually walk through my home and I just constantly am checking the ceilings, because every now and then, beautiful old home from 1920s, I'm blessed that I live in this great old home. But every now and then some water does get in, so I am doing checks constantly during the storm.
And one of the other simple things that we should do is to limit our toilet flushes during the peak of the storm. And it sounds like, why? I mean, I'm used to just hitting the handle, everything goes away. Well, because our sanitary systems in most areas are older. It's old infrastructure. It's probably overloaded pretty close to on a regular basis. So when a storm comes, people start dumping their sump pumps illegally into their basement sinks or things that are hooked up. There's cross connections between storm water and sanitaries that are creating a problem with flow in the systems. And the companies that provide our service, whether a municipality or a private group, they can't handle the volume of sewage and water that's coming there during a storm, because it's just the stuff goes up, the water levels go up, and there's treatment plants gets overwhelmed, and then they end up dumping or bypassing the treatment plant, and all the raw sewage goes into the ocean, into the bays, maybe into a stream near your home. So you're helping to do your part to lessen the impact of raw sewage going into the environment there. If you can just, you know, take it easy and not flush as much during a storm. So the next thing we have to think about is what happens now. Okay, the storm has passed. It's not the eye of the hurricane. It's the hurricane has really passed, or the blizzard, or whatever has happened. You know, what do we do? What do we do next? What do we do? Well, we've been thinking about everything, and it depends on the type of storm. But the main thing is we want you to be safe. You don't want to like just run out the door and start doing things without thinking about it. Go slow. Take your time. You might be tired already from maybe a lack of sleep. It was a long duration storm. But be safe when you go out there. And don't get involved in anything that is beyond your capacity. Like if there's a tree that fell across your driveway and you're not into, and it's a very large tree, not just a branch, and you're not experienced with your chainsaw or you're not in physically good shape, it's not up to you to go start moving that tree out of the way. Like you don't have to clear everything on your property. You know, it's prioritize what needs to be done. You know, even pumping water. A lot of people, okay, get the water out of the basement. You know, there's water down there. It's damaging everything. If the water's there, damage is done. You're not going to undo that water damage. And if there's a lot of what they call hydrostatic pressure on the outside of the foundation, and you start to take the water out of the basement, you're actually making the pressure unequal, and you can actually cause a collapse of the foundation. I've seen that happen, where the water pressure and their surrounding the house was so great, and now the water was taken away on the inside, the pressure was greater on the outside, and it forced the cinder blocks into a collapse situation and made the structure uninhabitable at that point. It was structurally unsound.
Well, if I can just interject as you're discussing that, you know, when you step outside to assess the damage, you know, almost make in your mind, it could be written, but it's just a checklist, like, okay, what has to be done first, second? So you take a look, as you just mentioned, inside the house, sumps, all this, and then you're outside going, okay, so there's that tree limb down, but I've got one a large branch leaning against a window. What's going to take precedent as you do that? So you're going to check the exterior of your house for your damage, your property for damage. And then probably the most important thing is do not touch any down power lines. And I'm just going to use the word wires, because some people will just say, oh, wires, that's the cable. Well, if you don't know, then don't touch. And I would just say don't touch all of them. There is a time they will get repaired. And we all have lived through some major storms and wires go down, especially here with the big old trees. And they go down and sooner or later they get put back up, but by the proper safety people.
Right. And just to elaborate just one more factor on any wire you don't touch, because even though I know it's a phone wire, I know it's the cable TV wire, it could be laying on top of a power wire up on the pole, where it's pulled away from. So you don't know the integrity of that wire. The hangers for it are not necessarily in place, and that wire could be electrically charged, and you could be electrocuted and die. So it's a good policy. Stay away from wires, period. There's people that are trained for that and have the proper equipment. Now, staying off flooded streets it's a wonderful thing that happens. People want to get out of their house and they want to go sightseeing and all that. Maybe it's not so wonderful, but people just, they're out of the house now. And I'm sure that this contributed to a lot of my gray hair that I have from my time in the service. And what happened is that kids are out on their bikes, they're driving down the sidewalks, we got people walking, they're walking through flooded water that's maybe knee deep, and there's a lot of hazards associated with that. Unless you're evacuating your house, there absolutely is no reason to be walking through flood water. It's full of sewage. It's full of critters. You could be, a manhole could be missing, and you're going to just step into that manhole, and you're gone. You're down into the sanitary system or the sewage system, and you're gone. There's no way we're ever going to find you. There could be things eroded. The bridge, part of it could be missing. There could be a part of the wall missing underneath. There could be a gas main under there that's leaking. There could be so many things that are hidden by the water, and it's brown. You can't see. What's the Irish or Scottish thing? If you can't see the bottom, don't wade the stream.
Yes.
Well, there's a perfect application of that. It's flood water. You can't see your feet 2 inches down, so you should not be in that water. And then staying out of the parks, we have a wonderful park system here in town that follows our river. And it's beautiful when it's not flooded, but when it's flooded, it is hazardous because you cannot see where the riverbank ends and where it starts, where the paths are. So there's no way you should be walking through a park system, be anywhere near a river, because not only can it just be undermining different parts of the pathway that you could get hurt on, but there could be another flash flood. There could be something letting go, a dam further upstream or something else that's going to cause a flash flood that you have no idea it's coming, and it's going to be on you, within a matter of minutes. You're going to be swept away, never to be seen again.
And we don't want that happening at all. Now, and we discussed this before, but you're stepping outside, examine those trees, because sometimes there are broken limbs that are still hung up in a tree. Again, that is a danger because, yes, it's going to come down. And if it's something that you can handle, and if you understand a little bit, and the examples I'll give you are after one storm down the road, Inspector Dade's home is there, and I was able to go up with a handsaw in your old big old magnolia and cut some of it down. And then there was the time that when I first moved to this home, that 150-year-old oak on one side came down and crushed my home. But there was so much besides the crushing of the home, so much of half the tree was still hung up there. And we're talking about a tree that is monstrous by size, monstrous by girth, all that. So we need to make sure of that piece. And also, you need to always check on the elderly. Think about this. After a snowstorm, I'm not talking blizzard, just go knock on their door and make sure they're okay. I went down to visit the folks yesterday. They have a gas fireplace. And I just said, why don't you put it on? And their batteries were out. So I just simply changed their batteries, because a blizzard 2 or 3 years ago, and they live at a distance, so during a blizzard, I would not be able to get there. Their power went out and their gas fireplace was not being able to lit. And my sister and brother-in-law had to go over there, literally shovel their way there to go rescue them. And now all of a sudden I said, hey, Ma, Dad, this is something you've got to check. And again, I will make sure, hey, they are the elderly people. I will make sure that on my trek, I will, from time to time, just put that fireplace on for them just to double check and make sure that they are safe. Checking on your neighbor is safe. And when I was in the science lab and talking to young students, I would say it's time for C&C. And they go, what do you mean CNC? That's care and compassion. We should have care and compassion all the time, but somehow like it needs to well up inside of us during prior post storms. So we need to make sure, absolutely make sure that we are trying to help everyone we can within our means. And I don't mean financially, with whatever you can do, making sure that you are safe and they are safe also. Inspector Dave, do you have any closing thoughts here?
Well, just reviewing everything that we did, we call this, there's a new term they use, not that new, but it's all hazards preparedness. And it's really for storms and natural disasters and man-made disasters too that can occur. You know, whether it's a fire in a neighborhood or a terrorist attack or whatever, these are all things that are for us year-round, day in, day out, things we should be prepared for. And I know I get kind of heavy about this, but it was my passion for so many years, you know, being in public safety. And so I still felt that a lot of the things that we talked about today, people are still not doing, and we're just trying to get the word out some more. And if you do, maybe you don't get to the whole list of things we gave you to do. We gave you quite a homework list, I didn't we, Joey B? But I think getting the getting started, start somewhere to be prepared, because when the big one hits, emergency services in your locality are going to be overwhelmed. I don't care where you live, big city, big town, little town, neighborhood, rural, urban, suburban, whatever. There's going to be so much going on that they may not get to you right away. So the more self-sufficient you can be so that you're not a load to the local services, it's very important so that you can and your family, you know, can survive, you know, any calamity that is thrown at you pretty much. And we're tough. We're resilient. We can do this. I mean, you think about what people went through many years ago, you know, with the, historically all the great Chicago fire and not just fires, but all the other giant blizzards of 1888 and all thing. And people got through these things because they were strong, self-reliant, and able to do these things. And we want to just get you to that point too. By you, your family, your children, your parents, anybody you live with, trying to help you strengthen to be ready for the big one.
Well, you know something, and as you're mentioning all of that, think about this. Because these podcast shows are all there at Joey B. Outdoors Science and Nature, and I mean, the people download them from Stitcher and iTunes and all these other Podbean and all these other places. And it's there, and you can always re-listen to it when you know a storm is coming. So you just say, okay, I got to prep. So how do I prep? And there you go. You've got this list, and there you go. And one of the things, I've learned so many things from my dad during his life. And I was just, as I told you, I was just down there yesterday and always get some great stories from him. But I'm the outdoor guy. This is what I do, the environmental scientist. And there's something that he's told me a long time ago and just sticks in my mind. There are two things that you cannot win against. That is the weather and water. Always, always, always be safe. Inspector Dave, I am thanking you so much for showing up into the studio.
Okay, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I look forward to my next visit.
All right, until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.